Amen. Good morning, all souls. A blessed Sunday morning to you, and welcome. I have family here this morning. Would my family please stand? Thank you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to you all. Welcome into the peace of this sanctuary, this place made sacred by the people who have worshiped here and kept the faith and called this church home. By the sanctified people of the faith who have stood in this pulpit with a stole, the symbolic yoke of ministerial service around their shoulders. Not long after the election of the current President of the United States, I stood in this spot and preached my first All Souls sermon, How Do We Rest with Our Broken Hearts? And today, as this is my last All Souls sermon and my last opportunity to minister to you in this role, I am called to share some of my reflections along with a few words of hope and encouragement. But first, let me invite you to arrive and to share a bit of contemplation. Please take a moment to slow down and maybe close your eyes, if you would. Now, please drop your shoulders. So loosen them up and drop them. And take three slow, deep breaths. Breathe in, breathe out. Enjoy the stillness and the rest, the sounds that filter into the sanctuary from the street, or the beautiful sounds of children who don't understand why we might want to sit here for just a moment, sitting together, breathing in meditative co-inspiration. Now, if you see with your eyes, as you open your eyes, take a moment and look around the sanctuary to see all the people. And if you see and know the presence of people in another way, use that sense. These are your people. This is your chosen spiritual community. See, We call this act of seeing deeply, beholding, taking time to behold the members of one's chosen spiritual community and oneself in relation to that spiritual community is a deeply contemplative and necessary practice. Let's go one step deeper. Ask yourself, what do I owe these people, this particular community, which I behold and choose as my own? What do I owe these people? I'm not talking about the simple things like money. I'm talking about the habits of mind and hospitality and the ways of being in sacred relationship with each other. This is where we begin, acknowledging the magnitude of the gift of being blessed to worship in a place such as this, with many other human individuals, each created in the image of the divine and each as extraordinary as yourself. Many of us come to church not only seeking a relationship with the divine, but also seeking comfort, healing, shelter, and connection with others whose values we view as being similar to our own, or for relief from the ruptures and disruptions of daily life. Today's prelude, Come Sunday, is one of Duke Ellington's best known religious compositions from the album Black, Brown, and Beige. Come Sunday expresses that deep spiritual need that communities of resistance feel to be together, that need that we feel together to be here in sacramental worship, seeing and being seen. Communal song and shared communal feeling in church is one of the ways oppressed people heal themselves in time of trouble, like passing a prayer from person to person in a tobacco field. My great-grandmother, Emma Margaret Taylor Harrison, had 16 children. She died picking peas on someone else's farm in Maryland. Ellington knew about such struggles of the flesh. He writes, "Up from dawn till sunset, man work hard all the day. Come Sunday, oh, come Sunday, that's the day." Sunday is the day, says Ellington. That's the day. Come Sunday, this deeply contemplative song reflects not only church music and the music of the field and the hollow, but also the juke joint, the aesthetic of the blues, which Ralph Waldo Ellison called an impulse to keep the painful details and episodes of a brutal experience alive in one's aching consciousness. I believe that Come Sunday also exemplifies what Black theologian James Cone called the transcendent present. In church, in our moments of transcendent experience of communion with others, we stand shoulder to shoulder and touch souls with clouds of witnesses and communities of saints of days past and days yet to come. We come to this altar of music for the healing and repair of our wounded souls, but we do not come alone. We come together with everyone who has ever worshiped at the altar of this church, from John Adams to the unborn children of Nico and Aiden. We come with the activists of all times and places who've risked their lives to open a way for all of us, as the martyrs of Stonewall did 50 years ago. We're all here. So I asked for this prelude of Ellington's sacred jazz to gather us, to gather us together. Most of us know that All Souls Church has recently been the site of some very public controversy. All Souls is also in the midst of a justice-making, transformative, healing process, even as members like Paula Cole Jones and Taquin of Boston help lead the denomination on issues of diversity, inclusion, and affirmation. As I now prepare to end my ministry here at All Souls, I invite you to reflect with me on three wisdom teaching questions. One, how do you transform manure to fertilizer? Two, when leaving Egypt, why did Moses take the long way around? And finally, three, how did you feel when you come out the wilderness? Let me tell you a story. A few weeks ago, I attended the annual gathering of the Southern Conference of the United Church of Christ, which I'm blessed to do by virtue of my covenant with All Souls, as required given my dual identity as a Unitarian Universalist and an ordained United Church of Christ minister. One of the things I love about the Southern Conference is that there are a lot of bivocational ministers like Reverend Irvin Milton and Reverend William Van Valkenburg, both African American. Reverend Milton is a farmer, and when Reverend Van Valkenburg is not tending his congregation, he is a long-haul truck driver. At this year's annual gathering in Greensboro, we worshiped, received trainings, and generally tended to each other's souls. Reverend Van Valkenburg and Reverend Milton were very interested in my ministry here at All Souls. I shared a bit about the recent struggles in this church, and you know what Reverend Van Valkenburg, minister and trucker said, he said, there's a reason that Moses took the Israelites the long way around from Egypt. Something to meditate on. There's a reason that Moses took the Israelites the long way around from Egypt. In Exodus 13th chapter, 17th verse, we read, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. For God thought, if the people face war, they will change their minds and go back to Egypt. So friends, when you get weary, think of the work that is going on in this congregation as a time of transformation, especially when it feels like the long way around. All this work of transformation is essential to your arrival in the promised land of beloved community. Some will drop off, and some will turn back. But some of you or your children will arrive. Your journey towards the eighth principle is a spiritual journey over difficult psychic landscape, but march on. This story of the Israelites leaving Egypt forms the central motif of the African American liberation narrative. The journey from the hell of the South and enslavement, crossing the line between slavery and freedom. This is why they called Harriet Tubman the Moses of her people, and why she carried a pistol in her skirts. March on or die, she said. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't go back to the old Egypt ways of doing things. March on until you reach beloved community. Even if you have to take the long way around. I loved the practical theology that Reverend Van Valkenburg shared with me. He also talked to me about the power of collective prayer in the cotton field, how when he was a young man picking cotton in the fields, working from dawn to sunset, the people would comfort themselves through collective prayer, passing their invocations and laments from one person to the next. Come Sunday, they were ready to lay their burdens down. And this is what Ellington knew, that church is important to us because we need a place where we can all be together and lay our burdens down. If only for a minute. The work of transformation exists so that we might hope to arrive together and lay our burdens down in sanctuary, peace, and belonging. Along the way, we can help each other shoulder the load. Which brings us to the next question. How do you make fertilizer from manure? Now, Reverend Irvin Milton, minister and farmer, says, ministers can't say shit in the pulpit. But I say it all the time. I say shit. because sometimes we have to go through that. And back after 45 was elected, and we had our All Souls Adult Spiritual Development course called Spiritual Grounding for Dangerous Times, we talked about passing through the shit zone. Didn't we? Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So we were already working our way through something very serious and unprecedented in the American political landscape, which complexified the dynamic of what subsequently happened here in our spiritual home. But Reverend Milton says that what the cow gives us, what the chicken gives us, is good. But chicken manure is hot, I say to Reverend Milton. Don't you have to compost it? No, he says. You take that manure and you lay out in the open fields. When the field is fallow and the furrows open, you take that manure and expose it to the wind and the rain. You expose it to the sunlight, and God does the rest.